When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. And now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
The peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we're here to discuss the New Age movement and some of its various beliefs and practices. One of the most common beliefs and practices in the New Age movement is belief in reincarnation. And we've looked at some of the ways in which New Agers have believed that the New Testament teaches reincarnation. And as we went through the passages that they tried to quote, we saw that none of it holds water, and it's all false interpretation of Scripture. As a matter of fact, what we do have in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, is, "You die once, and then you are judged." Now, that's very, very clear and explicit, a belief in one time around, that the commercial from beer is a lot more true than what you see in the New Age, that you just go around once, and that's it. And if this is the life upon in which everything is decided for all eternity. Now, we Christians do believe in life after death. We definitely believe in that. We believe that the soul is immortal and was created by God to live with Him forever in total bliss and complete happiness. But a lot of New Age people will believe that the soul can't earn that in this lifetime because nobody is perfect when they die. And therefore, many people, not only New Age, but other people as well, believe that we have to come back again and again and again until we get it right in life and become totally perfect. Well, this is something that we Christians would consider to be false. That you and I truly can't become perfect in one lifetime. And think of the people that you know, people that you love, people that you respect a lot. And yet even they have all sorts of faults. As a matter of fact, that's exactly why Jesus our Lord left us the sacrament of confession. Because we all have faults as we go on through life. But the good news of our salvation is that you and I don't have to keep coming back again and again to make ourselves perfect, but rather we can come again and again to Jesus Christ in this one life that we have to live and give our own selves to Him and ask His forgiveness. And we can be sure that by our baptism He forgives us. And in the sacrament of confession, everything that you bring to Him, everything that you confess to Him, every single sin that you own up to and say, "Yes, I did that, I'm responsible for it, and Lord, I know that goes against Your law, and I'm sorry." That He will forgive that, and He loves to forgive it. He literally is dying to forgive it. He died on the cross so that it could be washed away, and that you and I can have our souls washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and have our sins wiped away, and that we become clean by that forgiveness of Jesus Christ, not by coming back again and again and again. However, the New Agers insist in so many ways on believing in reincarnation. Let's take a look at some of the reasons that they hold this reincarnation. For instance, one of the things that they say is that people have memories of these past lives, and they can try to prove it. One of the proofs that they use is intuitive recall, where all of a sudden you have an intuition. I used to be here. I've been to this place before. I knew you before. We see this in a lot of the New Age literature, in books like, you know, Shirley MacLaine's books, where she tries to have get a sense of, why am I attracted to certain men? Why do I become attracted to these lovers that I have? That's what Shirley MacLaine asks in her books, Dancing in the Light and Out on a Limb. And she said, well, I'm immediately attracted to these people because we knew each other in past lives. And she tries to recall what happened in the past lives. Well, that's easily explained. Again, I quote from a friend of mine, the late Dr. Walter Martin, in his book, The New Age Cult. And he talks about this issue of past recall. Or even the experience of deja vu, where you say, I've seen this before. The reason that we do that is because we, on the subconscious level, have all sorts of attempts to relate our present to our past. And we'll make connections between things that seem similar today to things that are past. And Dr. Martin talked about it once in an experience that he had, where he went over to Switzerland. And he saw this castle, and it was beautiful. It was up on a hill, and he looked at it and said, I know I've been here before. I've seen this place. I just feel I know it. And sure enough, when he came back to the United States, he saw, in a sense, that he had been there before. That castle had been on a poster at his travel agency. And he tried to make the connection subconsciously between what he saw at the travel agent and what he saw when he went to his first visit in Switzerland. And we all have, you know, many experiences like that. There's the famous case of Bridie Murphy, who had all this spontaneous recall. As a matter of fact, this spontaneous recall is another proof. They say, how can a little child remember all sorts of things from the past? Or how could Bridie Murphy remember Ireland and all these scenes from Ireland of long ago and speak with an Irish brogue and even speak Gaelic? How can this happen? And she didn't try to, it just happened, and she would go into hypnosis, and other people have gone into hypnosis and have these experiences of, you know, being, I was in this other place, in this other land, they can give you all sorts of information. Well, after the book about Bridie Murphy came out, and researchers, you know, were able to investigate a little bit more, they found out that a woman whom she had known when she was just an infant had taught her Gaelic and spoke Gaelic, and shown her all sorts of books about Ireland. I believe it might have been even one of her relatives. And had shown her all these pictures and maps and so on, and she was able to recall what she knew from the maps. And she knew the Gaelic that she'd heard from this woman that she knew when she was just an infant. And that this is something that is not unusual. We are able to remember practically everything. We just have to suppress most of it because we can't use it all in our conscious life, but subconsciously we store things. And for various reasons, we bring these things back. That's what's going on when people have these spontaneous recalls. And of course, that applies into hypnotic regression. A lot of times people will go back to hypnotic regression and they will say, well, in the hypnotic state, I remember all this stuff. That doesn't prove anything. All that proves is that some things in your subconscious that you remember come to the foreground and become conscious when you're in a hypnotic state, and they seem to be memories of past lives, but there is absolutely no proof that a person has actually gone back to a past life. They try to prove it, but it just seems to be things that they have from their subconscious. We're going to come back in just a moment to continue our discussion of reincarnation and its falsehood. Welcome back to our discussion of reincarnation. I'd like to turn to some scientists and their perspective on this idea of reincarnation and past life recall and even experiences of being out of the body, you know, where people do, go and travel outside their body when they have these near-death experiences, and other experiences that they have when they're clinically dead, and then try to use as proof for reincarnation and life after death and all that. This is a book called Science and the Paranormal, and I recommend it. Its subtitle is Probing the Existence of the Supernatural. It's edited by George Abel and Barry Singer, and it's composed of contributions by a number of different scientists, Carl Sagan, Isaac Asimov, Philip Morrison, James Randi, and many other people, who have all contributed from their expertise as physicists, chemists, and other scientists, psychologists, to talk about different important things. Now, they don't agree with us in terms of our faith. They're not Christians, most of them, or maybe some of them are. I'm not sure of their background. But they don't come across to me as being Christian especially. They're trying to look at it from a logical, reasonable, scientific point of view. Now, what do they say about these past life recalls and experiences of traveling outside of your body and so on? Their consensus, from not their own research, but research of a number of other scholars on this, is that these afterlife reports are similar to states of ego loss or psychological death experienced in altered states of consciousness, including drug-induced hallucinations. In other words, when they study the experience that people have about life after death, or the experience of, traveling outside of your body and so on, this doesn't prove to them anything that people actually were born again and again. All it does is show them that it's very similar to being in an altered state of consciousness, the kind that so many New Agers get into through hallucinogenic drugs. And they also say that this is also similar to drug-induced hallucinations. They recognize the connection and that the kind of altered states of consciousness that go on in various forms of meditation. Now, what is hallucination? And they give an interesting definition of what's happening in a hallucination. And it's based on some electrophysiological research by a man named Winters in 1975. And I quote, that hallucinations are directly related to states of excitation and arousal of the central nervous system. So that's one of the first steps about what's going on in a hallucination, whether through drugs or through meditation and other things, that the central nervous system gets aroused and stimulated. Okay? First step. Second, that they are coupled with a functional disorganization of the part of the brain that regulates incoming stimuli. What does that mean? It means that there's a functional disorganization that operatively, even though the brain is working okay, because of the technique of meditation or the drug, that for a time, the part of your brain that's in charge of bringing in stimuli, bringing in information and controlling what information you see, hear, smell, taste, becomes disorganized. And it's not working like it usually does. And then what happens in terms of what's the result of that? Behaviorally, the result is an impairment of perceptions. So your ability to perceive is impaired. That you can't, see and perceive things and hear things like normal. An impairment of perceptions normally based on external stimuli and a preoccupation with internal imagery. So that's what's going on in hallucinations. That internal imagery, things from inside of you, dominate, and information coming from outside of you gets suppressed. So you don't think about what's happening on the outside world anymore, but when you're having a hallucination, it's what's happening inside your own brain from your own memories that takes over. That's the nature of a hallucination. Now, that's what's going on when people think they're experiencing past lives under hypnosis. Information from inside their brain, from inside their own memory, dominates. And they forget about what's happening in the outside world because they're in a hypnotic state, which is an altered state of consciousness, or when they're having drugs. or whatever kind of trance they go into. And they think that that's more real. Now, I've come across all kinds of incredible things that people say. For instance, Shirley MacLaine, as I understand her, you know, it says that instead of focusing on the outside world, listen to all these past lives and try to learn what you've gotten from the past lives and apply it to yourself today. Now, what that really means is pay attention to internal stimuli, the things going on inside of your own brain, your own memories, and let that dominate instead of paying attention to the outside world. Well, that fits into the New Age idea that the outside world doesn't really matter so much as the inside world. Your own mind is more important than the physical world. But that's not good enough. That's not giving us enough reality. Another thing that I've seen happen is people start to make decisions morally based on their belief in reincarnation. Two women have come up to me after lectures and told me that their husband started to go to a psychic who would do seances and talk to other spirits for them. The spirits told them, you were married in a past life to another person. So leave your present wife and go marry this woman over here because she used to be your wife in the 1600s. And that that's what you should pay attention to. But here's the problem. And they did it. They both divorced their wife in order to marry this other woman they think that they've been married to in the 1600s. But now what are they going to do to deal with the bad karma that they are supposed to get from not, you know, from divorcing the present wife? Will they have to get married to her again? It's crazy. When will this ever end? And that's the problem with reincarnation. Or I had another woman come up to me and tell me after lectures that her husband was told that she, his wife, had once been his daughter in another life. Therefore, he wouldn't touch her again. They cut off all marital relations, and he left her and divorced her and then went off to some other woman. That's crazy. That's madness. And the assumption is that this will never end in their lives. They have to keep coming back again and again until they get totally perfect and undo all the bad karma. Now, this is something that is just utter foolishness. That we have to realize that the good news of Jesus Christ is that you can be forgiven of your sins. That you don't need to have a new life come back again and again and again. But that rather you can find a new birth in Christ our Lord. We're going to come back in just a moment to continue this discussion. Welcome back. In our last segment, we mentioned a word named karma, a Hindi word. And it's an important concept for understanding the belief in reincarnation. Because in the idea of reincarnation from India, the belief is that whatever you do in this life will have an effect on your next life. And in the Hindu version, this is a law built into the universe, an objective law of cause and effect. You do something bad, you will get punished for it in the next life, if not this life. You do something good, you'll get rewarded for it in this life, if not the next life. And then the Hindus believe that when you die, you are immediately reincarnated as somebody else. And the incarnation takes place right away after your death. And that eventually you'll keep on evolving or regressing. See, in the Hindu idea, you can come back in a state that is worse than what you were in. If you're a man, you might come back as a woman. And if you're a bad woman, you might come back as an animal, and so on. Or you can come back, if you're a good woman, you might come back as a man. If you're a good man, you come back as a Brahmin. And if you're a good Brahmin, you come back as a Brahma cow and a Brahma bull, and eventually you become one with God. And you dissolve your personality. Your personality will stop existing. That's the Hindu notion of karma. That is not the New Age notion of karma. In the New Age movement, the idea of karma is that you are always progressing forward. They believe that you are always evolving, and in every life you learn a lesson, and that's a good lesson. And you always are getting better and better and better. Even when you do something bad, you are so much a god that you are always evolving. Now, that has nothing to do with the Hindu belief. It's rather something that I believe comes from the American confidence and belief in evolution. We're always going forward. And that you learn from the lessons that you suffer in this life, and that you come back as a better person and eventually become perfect, perfectly aware of your own divinity. That's much more the New Age belief. And there are a number of things that follow from it. They believe that even someone like Hitler was working out his karma and helping everybody else to work out their karma. Alice Bailey wrote in 1949 that the Jewish people as a nation had bad national karma, and that they all were killed in, or those 6 million people were killed in the concentration camp to deal with that bad national karma, and that they would all come back reincarnated at a higher vibration of consciousness. Now that's her teaching. I find that repulsive, and putting a blame on victims that they do not deserve. Another thing that you see very common in among New Agers is that they say, God does not judge you. Ruth Montgomery in her books repeats this, as I understand it, as be saying, repeats it again and again and again, that you do not get judged by God. God will not judge you. And other spirits speaking, not only Lily in the group, but other spirits speaking through other New Agers, say the same thing. God doesn't judge you. You judge your own self. And what do they mean by that? The New Agers believe that when you die, you go up to this place of the dead, and some of them will say that you meet with your old friends and relatives, and you sort of have a powwow, you have a council together, and you decide among yourselves, who's going to be the mother this time? Who's going to be the father? Are you going to be a boy or a girl this time? Everybody takes their turn believing that I'm going to be this, that, or the other thing. And in one lifetime, I'm going to be a boy, another lifetime, a girl. In one lifetime, I'm going to be a black person, another lifetime, I'm going to be white or oriental or Indian. And you just go through all the experiences. This, in a way, comes from an assumption from Taoism. Taoism is a Chinese religion and philosophy that believes you have to experience the whole of life. So the New Agers accept that and say you have to experience everything and become a woman, a man, and so on. Some of them will also say that people who are homosexuals because they used to be a man in another lifetime, and they like that better than being a woman in this lifetime. So they're attracted to the opposite, the same sex, or something like that. They still remember that when they were a man, they were attracted to women, so that now they're lesbians who are still attracted to women. Or a man who is now attracted to other men used to be a woman. And he still holds on to memories of being attracted to men. That's crazy. That has nothing to do with anybody's impression of what's going on. That's totally unprovable. Another thing that, you know, I've read in some of the New Agers, they'll say that black people today used to be white slave owners, and that these white slave owners, you know, are reincarnated as blacks to deal with their karma. And that they have to, you know, deal with that karma of having oppressed black people by now being punished as being black. Well, the assumption in there, as I understand it, is kind of racist. I think very racist. It's as if being a black person today is a punishment rather than a real gift from God. Being black is something that is God's gift to a person. And if somebody rejects that or sees that as a punishment, they're making a big mistake. It's not something that God does at somebody. If anything, prejudice is something that people do against others. But being black is itself a great gift of God and not something to be ashamed of or consider a punishment. That's bad approach to humanity. Well, anyway, New Agers will say that we all have to take turns being men and women and so on and having all these experiences to work out our karma. And that we decide what we're going to be. So if I come back and I have cancer, it's because I chose that in a previous life. If I choose to be a victim and belong to an alcoholic family, it's because I chose it. It's my own decision to work out my karma. And once again, they get into this position of blaming victims, people who suffer rape, and oppression and racism and all sorts of other things have actually chosen it for themselves because they want to have a hard life to work out bad karma. That's crazy. That's just blaming the victims all over again. We shouldn't even think along those lines. Or, as one doctor told me, his colleague aborts babies because he wants them to be incarnated in a better life and they'll come back at something better. That's immoral. It's not true. You see, we don't have to keep coming back again and again as if we save ourselves. What does Scripture tell us? In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, I repeat, it is owing to God's favor that salvation is yours through faith. This is not your own doing, it is God's gift. Neither is it a reward for anything you have accomplished, so let no one pride himself on it. We are truly God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to lead a life of good deeds which God prepared for us in advance. It's not something that we have to keep coming back again and again to earn, but salvation is something that God gives us as a gift through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And instead of looking forward to other lives, as men, women, or whatever, look forward to the resurrection from the dead that Jesus offers to you, you who believe in him and accept his grace. God bless you.